Is Jesus Christ nice? Hello, my name is Mike Mason, and this is the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate that helps men to order all things to Christ by becoming strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to know more about us, check us out on the web at www.stjoesociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Bootcamp Episode 1, and in this episode, we're going to address the question, is Jesus nice? Now, of all the ways to start out this year that we're going to have together growing in our faith, why would I start with the question, is Jesus nice? Well, I think this question matters for two main reasons. First, St. Augustine and Aquinas and the whole Christian tradition agree that you can't love something unless you know what it is. Now, we are clearly called in Scripture to love God. And so to love Him, we have to know Him. If we are to love Christ, we have to have a clear understanding of who He is. If our understanding of who he is is flawed, then our ability to love Him will suffer from that. Second, it's also clear in the Scriptures that we're called to be disciples of Christ. Now, a disciple of Christ is someone who devotes himself to our Lord to have His life become our life. Okay? We are Catholic Christians. Okay, the first time that the disciples of Jesus were called Christians is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. In the city of Antioch, which was the first pagan city that the disciples went to preach the gospel, the people in Antioch recognized that the disciples were so much like the Jesus they were preaching that they called them Christian, which just means little Christ. Guys, we are all called to be disciples of our Lord. And to be a disciple of our Lord, where we want His life to become ours, well, to do that, we have to have a clear idea of who He is. And if we have a faulty understanding of who He is, we're not going to be sufficiently motivated to walk the path that He's laid before us, nor will we understand whether the way we're walking is actually going to get us there. So who is Jesus Christ? One of the biggest problems in our culture and in the church today is that people have a faulty understanding of who Christ is. If you go out on the street and you ask people, you ask 50 different people what they think who Christ is, you'll get 50 different answers. Some people say he's just a really nice guy or he's a good moral teacher. Okay, one of my great pet peeves in life is that when people think of Jesus, they think of him as some effeminate, weak hippie who just, you know, preaches peace and love all the time. For most people, Jesus Christ is just a nice guy. I can tell you firmly right now that Jesus Christ is not nice. Now, to get at what I mean by that, let's take a look at what it means to be nice. Okay, so if you looked up in the dictionary or you posed it to some people, what's it mean to be nice? To be nice is to be appetitively pleasing. Now, what's that mean? A nice guy is someone who's pleasurable to be around. If you think of nice guys that you know, they're probably pretty pleasurable people to spend time with. And that's why we call them nice, because it's nice having them around. Okay. If a person wakes up every single morning and just says, I want to go through life being a nice guy, at first glance, you think, well, what's the problem with that? Well, I actually think there's a big problem with that. Being a nice guy is appropriate sometimes, and it's inappropriate others. What do I mean by this? It's appropriate to be nice, okay, to be pleasurable to be around when you're doing things like playing with your kids in the backyard. I have 5 very small children. We spend a lot of time in the backyard jumping on the trampoline and playing around. When I'm with my children in that context, they just think dad's the most fun and most pleasurable person to be around, okay? When I go to a dinner party or when I'm hanging out with friends, I think my friends would say, Mike's a nice guy. In those situations, it's perfectly appropriate to be nice. Okay? But being nice, being pleasurable to be around or pleasant to be around is not always appropriate. For example, those same 5 young children I have, sometimes they have to be disciplined. If I was mostly worried about being pleasing to them, being nice to them, I wouldn't be being a good father, because sometimes you have to discipline children and that's not pleasant. Or let's say a colleague or a friend of mine is making choices that's damaging to them, to their character and their career. Okay. I might have to say difficult things to them. I might have to criticize them. I might have to try to help them redirect their lives. That's not going to be pleasant. No one calls that nice. So being nice is something that's appropriate in some situations. It's not appropriate in others. If a person gets up every single morning and says, my main driving principle in life is to be a nice guy, he's going to end up doing things that are immoral, and he's going to walk away from the path that God set for him. So let's turn back to the question, is Jesus nice? Is Jesus a pleasant person to be around? I would actually answer that question yes and no. Okay, let's go to the yes first. What evidence in scripture do we have that Jesus is a pleasurable person to be around? First, children liked him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16, these parents kept bringing their children to Jesus. Obviously, the children wanted to be around him because they're not fighting it. The disciples are turning them back saying, no, I didn't have time for this. Jesus rebukes him, says, no, you let the children come to me. I want them to come to me. Second, we see Jesus in the scriptures invited to parties. Okay, he's having dinner at Matthew's house in Mark chapter 2, the famous scene of the wedding feast at Cana. Okay, why is this evidence that Jesus is a pleasure to be around? If you're not a pleasant person to be around, people don't invite you over for dinner. If you're not a pleasant person to be around, children don't want to be around you. So I think there's evidence in scripture that Jesus was a person that was approachable and probably was pleasant to be around in certain contexts. Okay. I'm not advocating he was, you know, one of the guys at these parties. Okay. He is our Lord, but he would have been a pleasant guy to be around because people don't get invitations to parties and children don't want to be around people who aren't pleasant. So why then would I say no? Why would I deny that Jesus is nice? Well, we have evidence in scripture that he does things that people don't find pleasing. In Matthew chapter 21, there's a bunch of merchants selling goods in the temple area, okay, defiling the temple. Jesus makes a whip out of cords and violently drives them out of the court. Nice guys don't do that. Two chapters later, Matthew chapter 23, Jesus challenges the religious leaders of his day by calling them hypocrites and blind guides. Nice guys don't do that. Finally, Jesus stood toe to toe with the most powerful empire in the entire world. And he didn't back down even in the face of death. Nice guys don't do that. Being nice was not Jesus's guiding principle in life. Could he be a pleasant person to be around at times? Absolutely. There's evidence in scripture for that. But when it called for him to say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done, Christ, even though some people might find him unpleasant to be around, did what was right and what was good. How's this apply to us? I wanted to submit to you that we are not called to be nice, but we're called to be good. A good man is pleasant to be around when the circumstances call for it. But he's also willing and capable of defending that which is true, that which is good, and that which is beautiful. There's this great essay by Teddy Roosevelt. It's called The American Boy. And in this essay, he has a section there where he's talking about how boys need to become good, because a boy needs to be good, a good boy, so that he can become a good man. I want to read to you a section from that essay, because I really think he gets at the point I'm driving at here. Listen to this. A boy can best become a good man by being a good boy. Not a goody-goody boy, but just a plain good boy. I do not mean that he must love only the negative virtues. I mean he must love the positive virtues also. Good, in the largest sense, should include whatever is fine, straightforward, clean, brave, and manly. The best boys I know, the best men I know, are good at their studies or their business, fearless and stalwart, hated and feared by all that is wicked and depraved, incapable of submitting to wrongdoing, and equally incapable of being aught but tender to the weak and the helpless. That's what I mean by a good man. A good man can be pleasant when he needs to be pleasant. He can be stalwart when he needs to be. So how do we become good men? In the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 19, a ruler comes to Jesus and poses to him this question. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now Jesus turns to him and says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now this is an important part of this passage. It sounds a little bit here like Jesus is denying that he's good. That's not what he's doing. When he says, "Why do you call me good?" he's trying to get the ruler that's talking to him to see the implications of his question. This ruler comes to him and says, "Good teacher." Jesus goes, "Why are you calling me good? Only God's good." Jesus is hoping that ruler sees that it is true that only God is good. It's also true that Jesus is good. So what's that mean? Jesus is God. Jesus is not a nice guy. He's a good man. How does this relate to us? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, St. Paul says this, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Gentlemen, how do we become good men? We become truly good men by getting Christ's life in us. Every one of you watching this right now, I'm sure, wants to be a good man. I'm sure there's lots of you that don't want to be described as a nice guy. But I'm sure all of you want to be good men. How do we become good men? By getting Christ's life in us. It's his goodness that we can possess through the promises of our baptism, through the Eucharist, through all the graces God pours into us so that his life becomes ours. Guys, how do we become open vessels for this sort of infusion of grace? Well, James answered that in chapter 4, verse 6 of his epistle. He says this, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Then every single day we need to wake up and recognize that we cannot be good men on our own. In order to be good men, we need Christ to infuse his life into us. The first thing we need to do every day is look at our Lord and say, "Lord, I can't be good by my own power, but through you all things are possible." Gentlemen, we're starting out on a 9-month journey together to become the men that God wants us to be. The first challenge this month, each month you guys are going to get a challenge. The challenge this month is what we call the first 15. What the first 15 minute is that when you get a step out of bed, the first thing you're going to do is humbly acknowledge God and say, "Lord, I need your help to be a good man. The man you called me to be, I need your help to do that today." And you're going to do this in two simple ways. You're going to pray the morning offering to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. You're going to show God by that first act of the day that he's going to be your number one priority and that you ask for the Blessed Mother's intercession. Second, you're going to read a short passage out of the Gospel of John. Guys, we need a clear understanding of who Jesus Christ is, a clear understanding of who he is. And to get that, we have to learn who he is. So this month, we're going to start each morning. We call it the first 15, because we want to devote first 15 minutes of our day to our Lord. This challenge will probably only take you about 5, but that's all right. It's a good start. Pray the morning offering to Our Lady on Mount Carmel. We're going to read the Gospel of John. If you allow our Lord to do it, he will transform you this month and start turning you into that good man that you've always wanted to be. It's going to be an exciting time. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. God bless.